This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Beautiful day outside, absolutely spring-like. And the first part of our show today is brought to you by Mark Pirtle and John Howerton at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. And they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-25 minute drive from Murfreesboro to Shebaville. They're on the left just before you get into downtown. And they have some of the best people that you've ever run into. Sit down, enjoy a conversation with them, look around, and see if they've got the thing that you're exactly needing for your vehicle. And I guarantee you, if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, you'll find it there. And what a beautiful day to drive back in a brand new car. And before you leave, you can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. All right, ladies, we've got your subject today. Oakland's mansion is featuring wedding gowns, and this has been going on for some time, and we have Mary Beth Nevels and Nyla Gober and on as our guest today. Just two absolutely gorgeous ladies who should be wearing their wedding gown since you're promoting this. And you've been doing this for a while, and I'm glad that you finally let me know what's going on, Mary Beth.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having us.
So you started back in what, the middle part of January? Yeah, Mary Beth, you have to turn the mic around. It has to face
you. It has
you.
To face,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Nobody's looking at you through this mic, I guarantee you. And what was the reason that you got this started, the historical part of it?
Well, the wedding dress exhibit opened on January 15th, mm-hmm. and it's up through February 15th. So we're halfway through, and it all started. Polly Ridley was on our board of trustees.
Super lady.
And we miss her greatly.
Yes,
she was very supportive of all of our programs. And we had seen her wedding picture, I think, in Murfreesboro Magazine. And mm-hmm. we had gone to visit their house before and seen it. And it was mm-hmm. so pretty. And my cohort in crime, Nyla Gober, our curator, was sitting at the office talking one day. We were talking about Mrs. Ridley and reminiscing. And she said, I would love to see her gown. And it grew from there, and she took it and ran with it, and I jumped in with her, and it has been one of the most fun exhibits that I have worked on since I've been at Oakland's.
Now, when we're talking about gowns, we're talking about over a history of 150, 200 years, so it pretty much mirrors the fashion changes as they have gone on through that stretch of history.
Yes, we started in 1870 and we go through 2008.
Wow.
Maybe just a couple of years missing, but we have 25 gowns.
When people go there, do you kind of relate what was going on with the ladies back then as
yes.
far as the things that they were really wanting for their wedding?
Yes, it's not just local history, but it's American history. Everything from Bobby Kennedy being assassinated. Hmm. You know, there's lots of American history there, as well as the local.
Now, if you're starting in 1870, you know, that's post Civil War time.
Yes.
And I presume that during that particular period, there wasn't a whole lot of wealth here. When we were in the state of change and trying to rebuild during that period.
Yes, but the gown that we do have, it's something to see.
Now, the gowns at that time, were they handmade here locally, or did they order those from different areas, or did some of them even come from Europe and places like that?
I would say all. I think they were handmade. I think some were from local stores. And I'm sure that some people did order from Paris.
Now, it's remarkable because you guys brought pictures of these dresses, and they look like they're brand new.
Some of them do. Some of them have been stored away, preserved, and they've just come out of the box just for this exhibit. They've been put away for years and decades. And some aren't white anymore. Mm-hmm. They're yellowed with time. They have rips or stains or mm-hmm. holes, but their personalities are still there with them. So it's been a real treasure to take them out of the boxes and take them off the hangers.
Now, they did not just magically appear over at Oakland. Now, how in the world did you guys arrange this?
Well, we just started asking our board of trustees, ladies that are members of Oakland's that we see. You know, Nyla's accosted several out in town when she'd find them. You know, anybody that we could run into. We started talking to just general friends and family. Nyla's gown is out.
I'm the only 80s there, 1980s.
So, I mean, you have one just about for each decade,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think not either you or Mary Beth said earlier, the only decade that is missing is the 1930s.
Yes, yes. But we have a headpiece from 1939.
Now, when you're talking about a headpiece, what is that?
It's the cap that the veil would attach to.
Oh, okay.
And it's from New York.
Now, do most of these gowns actually have veils that are attached to them?
We've been really fortunate that a lot of the gowns were preserved with the veil mm-hmm. that was worn. And so most of them do have their veil, and they're beautiful.
Now, you have some in here that are not white. I mean, originally were not white.
Right.
Now, what is the basis behind the original? You guys know the history of gowns. What is behind the history of white and then other colors that may be involved as the ladies would select their own particular gown?
I don't know that there's a history behind it necessarily as what was going on at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the 40s and 50s, there were other things going on. You didn't see the big weddings. You saw more ladies wearing suits or dresses. Mm-hmm. One of the dresses that's hanging up was bought at Elrod's on the square in
Cecil
the 1950. In the 1950s.
And it's pink.
It is pink and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's a knee-length dress. They were married in the church parsonage. So you saw some smaller weddings. You saw, you know, couples elope. It was, you know, a different time.
So basically the bride is going to pick the color that she desires. And, and I
yes.
think I'm really surprised that there haven't been more gowns at the weddings that I've been to that were not pink, because it seems to be the number one color that most will pick.
You want to do this one? Well, one of our favorite stories is about a blue velvet gown.
Wow.
It's Mrs. Oma McNabb. I had
know her,
as a,
well.
I had her as a teacher at Riverdale. Mm-hmm. But she was married in 1942. And,
to Hall McNabb.
Mm-hmm, and she and her mother and her sister left Murfreesboro the morning of December 22nd, 1942. They went to Camp Butner, North Carolina, to mm-hmm. meet up with the groom, and he was stationed there.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding dress was blue velvet, and it was purchased at the French shop here in Murfreesboro. At that time, pantyhose were hard to come by,
mm-hmm.
and they had put aside a pair of pantyhose for her so that she could pick it up. And then she also had a matching velvet hat and a blusher veil. She doesn't have the dress anymore, but we loved the story so much that we wanted to type it up and include it in our exhibit.
Because it was unusual that three women drive that distance.
Mm-hmm.
Alone.
Now, who were the three women now that went?
Her mother and her sister.
Her
and the
mother
bride.
And sister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Because my Aunt Nancy, my dad's sister, she married Stanley McNabb.
Yes, we
who
know
would
Miss
be his,
Nancy.
Who, mm-hmm. Who would be his,
yes.
his brother, Hall's
mm-hmm.
brother.
She doesn't have her wedding gown either.
Aunt Nancy doesn't?
No.
I'm
check.
Surprised.
We have a list going of ladies in the community that we have asked, and they don't have them any mm-hmm. longer. And then we also have a list that we have started of ladies that we are dying to ask if we can use theirs next year.
Yes.
And we also have a list of people who have come through and seen the exhibit and said, mm-hmm. I wish I had known you could have used my dress. And so we'll go get a piece of paper and write their contact information down. And there's just no way we can't do it again. We had too much fun.
But all different gowns. We want everything different.
You didn't by any chance talk to the ladies and get pictures of the ladies next to their gowns in those gowns, did
you? Yes.
As
many photos as we have are next to their gowns, the ladies wearing their gowns.
Yes.
If they had one. We have one bride that we have her gown on display, and she had her bridal portrait made inside Oakland's.
Yes.
Back when they were still allowing that. We don't allow photography in the house anymore.
Oh.
But she's standing on the staircase of the mansion, and it's a really big bridal portrait, and her husband had to take it off the wall at home and bring it to us, and we were able to hang it on the wall in the reception hall right beside her dress.
Now, are many of the ladies that belong to the dresses, or the dresses belong to them, are they fairly well known in the community? I mean, you were talking earlier that Bill and Gloria's grandmother's dress is in there.
It is.
1914, mm-hmm. And she was also known as the first police lady in Murfreesboro. And we do have her dress, and we have her photo with her dress.
That's amazing.
That's amazing
one
dress.
Thing that I think the ladies are really going to pick up on when they go over there is actually see them in the dress and kind of get a picture of what was going on historically during that particular period.
Right.
And that's one thing that's really interesting. You go through the decades that were full of so many different things going on. Of course, in the 1920s, I would say the dress that came in there would be kind of interesting because...
It is. It's brown.
The 20s was really a roaring time, as they say.
Yes, it's brown.
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 Mm-hmm.
It was Mr. Ridley, James Ridley, Miss Polly's husband. It was his mother's gown.
Oh, wow.
And she's known as Peg.
Uh-huh.
And it was, we think, probably a maroon. It's brown now, but it was in the attic, and it's probably mm-hmm. faded.
And we have a photo of her.
Now, you probably got that from Jim, right?
We did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was telling you earlier, that's one of them I want to see is Polly. Do you have a picture of Polly?
We have a photo, yes, of her in her dress, and she's beautiful.
Oh, one of the most interesting ladies and delightful as she could be. And there's only, I guess, nobody could outperform her when you were at a table because if you were in a social event, Polly Ridley took over the whole show and even would outshine Jim. She's the only one that I've ever seen. Now, you be sure and tell him when you get back now that I tried to call him one day, but I've had so many phone calls to have him back on my show. I've got to. It's just like I had Red Skelton and Jack Benny and all of them tied into one.
We love him to come visit. We do.
Now, what are the decades that are your favorites as far as the dresses are concerned, because there have to be some. And we could almost start with the 1870, because I was talking about Reconstruction in the South going on at that time. But we also, and I'm sure you don't have it because you already told me this, but I would love to see some of the old wedding dresses from the 1850s and the early 1860s, because that was kind of the glory time of the South.
We will have one of 1860, hopefully in July.
Oh, really?
With a clothing exhibit mm-hmm. that will be there.
In July, we are going to have Mr. and Mrs. Philip, I think it's Whiteman. They're out of Georgia, mm-hmm. and they have one of the largest private collections of 1860s Civil War civilian clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have an 1860s wedding gown. They're going to bring their exhibit, and it will be in Manny Hall, our mm-hmm. reception hall, for one weekend in July. And
oh, yeah.
that's the same weekend that we're going to have some of the sesquicentennial events from the Civil War going on the lawn, and we're going to do that with the Sons River National Battlefield. So we're excited about the clothing exhibit. They not only have the wedding gown, but they also have dresses, men's clothes, children's clothes, hats and bonnets,
shoes.
So we've taken this
they
exhibit
wore with shoes, huh?
Yeah, we've gone from these wedding dresses to being excited about seeing all of the other clothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I think of that period, I think almost like Camelot. Everything was lavish, and they really knew how to live back then.
Yes, mm-hmm. They did.
Now, we do have Rachel Adeline, the lady of the house. Mm-hmm. Her father was Governor Newton Cannon. Mm-hmm. And when she married Lewis Manny, the wedding gift from the governor's cabinet were some red goblets, and we have one of the goblets on display, and we have her wedding china on display. So that's been,
and her silver,
and her silver napkin rings
do not get out very often, but they're very unique. Yeah.
So it's been an opportunity for us to get some things out of our collection and put out that maybe aren't normally seen or easily seen.
Now, you guys do tours almost on a daily basis.
We do. Uh-huh. We're open 6 days a week.
And this is entirely separate from what's going on now with the gowns, right?
Yes. The gowns are in the reception hall. Mm-hmm. It is free and open to the public. If you want to add on a house tour, then you're welcome to, you know, purchase a ticket and take a guided tour of the house. But if you want to come to just see the wedding gowns, you just come into the visitor center and we'll direct you down to look around. And you can spend as much time looking at the gowns and reading the stories. The stories have been almost more fun than any part of it.
Yeah, you see the you can see the bride with her story, and you see why she chose that dress. It's very interesting.
Now, the hours that you actually come in to see the gowns, what hours are those and days?
10 to 4 Monday through Saturday, and 1 to 4 on Sundays.
Those are good times. Mm-hmm. Right after church, people go in there in their finest.
And they sure can.
Go in and look at things. One thing I've always been interested in, when we talk about weddings have always seemed to me like they focus almost entirely on the bride. That is her particular day. Now, as ladies, can you explain to me why it's so important for the lady to have that one day that becomes so special that she wants to look her best and be able to portray it? Don't be shaking your head no at me, because I know you ladies have thought about that.
Well, I think it's a day that they've thought about, you know, since they were little kids, and it's their opportunity to be that princess, or it's their special day, and you can't deny. I don't think there's a reason why it's their special day. It just is.
And I think the parents want it to be a special day for their little girl.
Well, it's one of those things. Now, I don't know if I was a parent of a daughter that I would want to spend a small fortune for her to go in with that particular on that particular day. And I have known fathers of brides that have actually offered them a chance to maybe, if they would spend the same amount of money on a honeymoon or a down payment on a house or all those other things. And I'm going to have the people who have weddings for a business throwing rocks at me. But I've often wondered about it. I mean, it's just a guy's
Well, that's
thought.
What's been so interesting about this exhibit. Is how the weddings have changed through the decades. You know, not only has, you know, you have the 40s and 50s where they're wearing, you know, a suit or a dress, and maybe their weddings are a little lower key, and you go through changes in the decades. You get where the dresses are bigger and fuller, and the sleeves are bigger, and the trains are longer, and the weddings are more elaborate. And then you kind of get back to another time when the dresses are a little more slim and form-fitting, and maybe not as elaborate, or take place in a garden or a yard. We've had, you know, some brides where they said, well, we only had 26 people at our wedding, or some stories of how, you know, they eloped, or you know, they had to go find their groom wherever he was stationed. So this exhibit not only lets you see the gown and read the story, but it's kind of like a little history lesson where you're walking through what's going on, you know, in that time, in that region. We have not the brides, they may be local now, but some of the weddings took place in New York or up north or in another state. So they bring that area's history.
I would love to see some of the pictures. You've got the bride and her gown, but I'd love to see some of the pictures of the background around where they are, their homes that they're in, because I know that they still had some just beautiful, gorgeous mansions like Oakland back then, and I know that that had to be really something special. But we're in a world now, I can't remember, it's been 3 or 4 weeks ago, but they did a study on models, and basically they were saying that models are getting thinner every year. This goes all the way back to Twiggy. And of course, my question is, how in the world can you ever find anything to fit these women that are so tiny? I mean, they're so tiny that you can't even hardly see them anymore.
This has been a big challenge for the exhibit. We partnered with the Human Sciences Department at MTSU. Mm-hmm. They have been wonderful to work with. And they let us borrow some signage and some dress forms. And we had some dress forms of our own. Mm-hmm. But we had trouble finding dress forms that some of these dresses would fit. The 1870s gown has an 18-inch waist. Mm. And it's tiny. We have another dress that is on a child size form, just to get it to zip up. So they were tiny, and they were shorter. You know, when you stand up next to them, mm-hmm. you can see, you know, the height mm-hmm. and just how tiny their waists were.
What were those things that they used to pull on and make their
corsets?
Waist?
Corset. Yeah.
How in the world could a woman stand that? I mean, you got that pressure pulling in on you all the time.
Actually, they're comfortable.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they good for your back or maybe that?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the posture was why you wore them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the ladies back then, it was proper to stand up straight. Mm-hmm. And so
you have seen a change in the size, say the waist size primarily.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, what would be the normal? Back then, you're talking about 18. And that's small.
Mm-hmm. Very small.
And the height was smaller.
Yes.
So what would the average be right now compared to the 18? So we're talking about 140-something mm-hmm. years.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I couldn't put a number on it myself.
I would say the average size today would be size 12, size 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
And back then, it was tiny.
Tiny.
One of my daughter-in-laws is barely 5 feet tall, mm-hmm. and she wears a lot of times a zero.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, how in the world would she fit into something like that? I mean, she is just teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she come close to being the size of a period size from back then.
Now, if you go out and you're looking to buy a wedding gown right now, how do you start the process of trying to find what you want? Is it like trying to buy a house when you go through and you look at all the colors and everything else and that goes with it?
It's been 25 years for me. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
It's been too long for me. Now, we have brides that come in. You know, we rent our facility mm-hmm. out for weddings, and we have brides that come in, and they show us their dresses and pictures of their dresses. And I think the one thing that has changed in the way that brides are planning their weddings today is mm-hmm. that they have found that with the internet, it doesn't take them as long.
Hmm.
You know, 20 years ago, they might have been engaged for a year and planned that whole year mm-hmm. for their wedding. And now it's not uncommon to get a call and say, I'm getting married in 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Because you can plan one so much quicker with the internet.
Yeah, such a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Bless her dad. We want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
This is Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery. Join us Saturdays, 11:30 to 12:30 on the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery. With cold weather here, now is the best time to plant most trees and shrubs. With a huge selection of bulk mulches, stone, and soil amendments, we're here all winter for your landscaping needs.
South Branch Nursery, located at Barfield Road and South Church Street, 893-4030, or on the web at southbranchnursery.com.
This is Thursday, February the 2nd, and yes, it is Groundhog's Day. The Red Cross is having a blood drive all through the day today until 6 o'clock tonight over at the Red Cross here in Murfreesboro. That's at 501 Memorial Boulevard. And a food drive, now through Sunday at First Baptist Church on East Main. Bring the non-perishable food items by the church's conference room or the church gym. It will be used by the Rutherford County Food Bank, Greenhouse Ministries, The Journey Home, and the Rutherford County and Murfreesboro City Schools Backpack Programs. That food drive going on through Sunday at First Baptist Church on East Main. C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe continues Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2 at the Swan Performing Arts Center. That's at 1203 Park Avenue. For information, call 617-3784. And the Unity Luncheon is Tuesday at MTSU's James Union Building. This year's honorees are Thanartis Ellis, Mary Scales, and Olivia Wood. For information, call 898-2591. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
At Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad Street, we now have a European specialist on staff. Now you don't have to go to the dealer for service and repair on Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, Jaguar, and other Europeans. From oil changes to engine work, we can take care of it on foreign, domestic, and European vehicles. 962-9050.
We're at the Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street across from the tall NHC building, talking with Christy Sanford.
Instead of it just being rows and rows of just shirts and pants, we try to make it more in sections, so we'll have like a houseware section, and we try to set up more display areas.
Donations to the Garden Patch Thrift Store and proceeds from sales help fund Greenhouse Ministries, a faith-based nonprofit helping underserved in our community.
We are located at 309 South Spring Street,
across from the tall NHC building.
Weather-eye.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high near 62 degrees and northeast winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Later on this evening, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low near 38. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 63.
Hi, this is Mike, owner of Maple Street Grill, inviting you to come and experience our Uncorked area. And Uncorked is open Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to midnight, now featuring live music from 9 to midnight. Uncorked is located conveniently above Maple Street Grill at 109 North Maple Street in downtown historic Murfreesboro.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
Welcome back with Mary Beth Nevels and Nyla Gober. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Gold and Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles, even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Gold and Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And they now have a second store. It's 5631 New Nashville Highway next to the TriStar Motors. And you can call them at 890-2646. You know, we have been talking about the gowns, but you guys have so many other things, and you go year-round. And a lot of times I think that maybe we do not get the information out like we should a lot of times, because this means so much to this community, because we have deep roots here, and it's something that's really comforting to know where all your people have come from, what they've gone through, and the type of lives that they lived and things like that. And in March of this year, you're going to have the Civil War artifacts. And what's going to be on display there?
Actually, it's not only just the Civil War, but back in June of last year, there was an archaeological dig over in the ball fields near the mansion. And we will have some of the things that they found during that dig that date back to 8,000 to 10,000 B.C.,
You're a kid.
So we will have some of those things out, and just some things that have been found around the grounds, pottery, and we have a bullet that was found and from the 1860s. So it's a small display, but we're going to share.
Now, what led to the dig, especially in that particular area? How did they, did they run back some historical trails to maybe lead them to that particular area and maybe what they might be finding?
You know, I think that they are getting ready to put in new walking trails. Mm-hmm. And before they unsettled the earth, they wanted to make sure that there was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And so they did do a dig and found several things. And I'm not sure if that has put everything on hold. They think they have found maybe cornerstones to maybe slave quarters.
But we're talking about B.C.
B.C., right.
That's a long time ago. And, you know, we really don't have much here to relate to that particular time in this country.
No, and we're hoping to bring out what the atmosphere, the, you know, what kind of weather we had here during that time. Bring a lot of that out so people would know. I personally was very shocked to find out about the glaciers being here and how they moved north. And I've learned a lot of this through the dig. So we're ready to share that.
Do we know who actually initiated the part of actually going in and exploring that?
It was done through the Corps of Engineers, and they had it contracted out. It's part of the Parks and Recreation Phase 3 or 4 of the Oakland's Park wetlands. You know, started years ago through the help from Bart Gordon and his office and grants. And so it's kind of a continuation of the process. And just before they, you know, wanted to start working over there, they contracted this out. And it's a good thing they did, because we've gotten some good information from it. And, you know, it begs to questions of what else can we find along the property. The spring would have been a draw through, you know, thousands of decades to live by. It's, you know, it's a current spring right now. You can go down and see it bubbling up. So that definitely would have been a big draw. It's, I'm sure, why the Mannies built the house where they did.
But I'm sure that they hired an explorer or a historian of some reputation to come in and actually be able to identify the artifacts that were brought up there.
Yes, this was professionally.
Yeah, this was done. It was a company that's contracted through the Corps of Engineers. So
they're going to have the data there. Would the person be there himself or herself to actually inquire about some of the things that they found?
We have the information.
They've sent everything, all their reports along with the boxes, and everything is labeled and numbered, and now we just have to go through it and pick out the cool stuff that we want to.
Now, how far did, how deep did they actually go? Do you guys know? Were you present when they were doing that?
We just got the information 2 weeks ago. So
I don't remember hearing anything about that.
This is all, you know, it's new to us, and so we're excited to share it with everybody else. So we're digging through the paperwork ourselves.
Well, that's pretty neat. So you're going to have things that from that particular exploration, and then you're also going to have things from the 1860s era and and as it has evolved up to now. That's going to be a great display, and that's going to be March the 1st through March the 31st. So that's just around the corner.
Yes.
And that will be located in our audiovisual room that's in the visitor center behind the gift shop. We have some display cases in there so we can keep everything safe. And the general public can come in and go through and see that during regular hours also.
And it's free.
And I'm going to write this down because I'm going to make it over there because I want to see that stuff.
Well, we have documents and photographs that are part of the Oaklands collection that we don't have out in the house in the mansion for you to see every day. They're stored away in our archives. They're archivally safe, and Nyla keeps them nice and organized. I'm banned from the room because I don't do well up there, but Nyla keeps them all nice and pretty and organized, and this is a chance for us to get them out and let people see them for a little while, and then we'll put them back away until the next time.
I don't blame Nyla at all because I have seen you walking out of church, dropping the church bulletin and all that other stuff. All right, April, you're going to have the Oaklands Easter Egg Hunt, and that's always something neat, and it looks like it's ages from 2 to 10.
This is maybe our fifth year to do the Easter egg hunt on the grounds, and it's such a pretty setting.
It is beautiful
for
the there.
For an Easter egg hunt. We let the grass get a little high, and we have pretty little flowers that pop up all over the grounds, and we're able to hide the eggs. And you could just stand at one end of the grounds and look down, and thousands of eggs out there, and you don't see any. They're, hidden down in the grass, and it's just really fun to say, ready, set, go, and turn the kids loose with their little baskets. And then they sit on the front porch of the mansion afterwards, and they go through their candy and whatever else they've hidden treasures they've found in their eggs. And it's just a happy time to have the grounds full of kids.
Well, I noticed it's going to be at 2 o'clock on April the 1st. It's April the 1st. That sounds like an odd.
It's a Sunday.
It's also April Fool's Day, too.
I know, but we're not fooling.
Doing it. No.
you're not going to have a certain prize out there for any of the kids, are you?
There will be a real prize.
Okay, good. All right, in May. Now this is going to be interesting, especially for the folks who've got a little age on them like me. May the 17th and through the 18th, you're going to have days of washing, churning, and learning. Now this is going to be a new experience for a lot of people who go over there because most people think that some of this stuff is just something that they've heard in folklore.
No, this is for real. These are our no batteries, no electricity required. This is our educational field day. We will have hundreds of school children and parents and teachers on the grounds, and they are participating in hands-on chores of the 1800s. They churn butter, wash clothes on a washboard, beat rugs, play dress-up. They will help us plant our vegetable garden and some flowers on the grounds. Full of activities to keep them busy, and they're just going to get a great way to step back in time and see not only the hard work but also some of the period games and fun that went along with it. And you know, they can study these things in the classroom, but then to actually step on the grounds and get to experience it, you know, see a butter churn and feel when you're pulling the up and down and it's starting to turn to butter and bending down over a washboard and scrubbing. It's really interesting.
And how many times you have to dip the string to make your candle that you would use at night.
You know, I'm sitting here watching, and I know this is going to be really interesting to the kids and maybe some of the others that have not experienced this, but I have watched my grandmother and my mother use washboards before, and that is hard work.
It is hard.
Back-breaking work, and I've also seen them do the my grandmother make butter, and you get to thinking we're so used to having things done just automatically for us, and they don't realize that took talent, it took resolve, all the other things to get through the day just making these things that you had a specific need for. And to me, bringing this out actually takes us back during quite a few decades into a time that was real for most of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we, you know, have a pre-lesson plan that the teachers can do, or the homeschool parents can mm-hmm. do with the kids before they ever get there. You know, have the kids think about and make a list. What are the chores that they're responsible for at mm-hmm. home, and what materials or supplies do they need to do those? Mm-hmm. You know, how many things do they have to plug in to do it? Does it take batteries? How long does it take you? And that way, when they get to the grounds of Oaklands and they see the hard work that's involved, they can compare. Playing on their little handheld games mm-hmm. compared to going out and doing an old-fashioned sack race. Mm-hmm.
But when you're my age, and when I was young and I'd watch my grandmother churn the butter, it was almost like it was magical, because mm-hmm. you would start seeing the butter starting to form, and it would just to me, it tasted better. I don't know if it was because you had to work for it or not, mm-hmm. but it tasted a whole lot better back then. Everything did. I mean, you the milk that you drank came directly from the cow back then, and everything was made. And now the kids, unfortunately, they don't get to see those type of things. If you tell them their chore for the day is take the trash out, and then they complain about that. Right. If they knew how things really were.
Right.
Now, this is going to be, what are the hours to see?
It's 9 to noon.
Uh-huh.
It's geared for school children, pre-K through 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But the general public is welcome to come and participate. It's $5 per child or per mm-hmm. person. They check in and pay at the pavilion, and they can come and participate in the activities too. There'll be limited house tour that day. But if they want to participate and experience and... then they're welcome to certainly come and enjoy the grounds. The grounds are full of children, and it's just a happy day to share Oaklands with the community.
And you can bring your own blankets, it says here, mm-hmm. and sack lunches, mm-hmm. and enjoy an old-fashioned picnic under the shade trees.
Yes,
and that sounds like just almost like paradise, doesn't it?
It does.
It is.
It is paradise.
Well, you know, the walking trails out on the property in the spring and summer, it's every day just about. We'll look out and people are walking or having a picnic or doing mm-hmm. yoga under the trees. It's so nice to see the grounds used by the people in the community.
Mm. You know, not enough people actually take part in that. There are so many people that probably in this community don't even know where Oaklands is.
Do you know, at least once a week, we get a visitor that comes in and says, I've lived here all my life and didn't know Oaklands was there, or I've lived here 20 years. We have so many transplants to mm-hmm. Murfreesboro over the last, 30 years mm-hmm. that a lot of them just haven't made it here. So we're hoping that through interesting things like the exhibit, the activities that we have planned, mm-hmm. that everybody will have the opportunity to come and do something fun.
Well, you know, the good thing about it, you can go over there and experience the entire history of this community in that one place. And there are people over there that are going to recreate what has gone on during our history.
Yes.
And I don't know why people would not want to take part in that. And I haven't. I really have. In fact, I'm going back again.
Good.
And we're going to have to take a quick break and let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And she saw a specific need to come in and take care of people who are no longer able to take care of their normal duties of the house. And they do it for them. And they do it 24/7, 7 days a week, and make sure that you're able to stay in your own home and still have a quality style of life that you deserve. And if that sounds like it's something that you particularly need, give them a call at 713-4639. Pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or go over to their business. It's 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard.
Hello, my name is Lance Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor. Early voting, February 15th through February 28th. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message, Lynn E. Jenkins, treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
A hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer, or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Today is Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2012. Our WGNS birthday cake winner today is Erin Nunley. Her girls called that in. Today, Erin is going to receive a free birthday cake, compliments of locally owned and operated Junior's Foodland.
If you love college basketball, there's nothing like the madness of March. If you're a fan of the Sun Belt Conference, the place to be March 3rd through the 6th is Hot Springs, Arkansas. For the 2012 Conference Basketball Tournament, ticket packages for the entire tournament are available for $128 at your local Sun Belt Schools ticket office. Don't miss out on 4 days of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas, America's first resort. The Sun Belt's top teams will battle it out for a trip to the dance. With new rivalries being made, championships being crowned, and dreams coming true. Get your Sun Belt Conference Tournament tickets today.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
Welcome back with Nyla Gober and Mary Beth Nevels. And it's been a pleasure with you guys. Gals, I should say. I'm used to saying guys. I don't know why I do that. We're talking about the wedding dresses again. And you said that you have some of the names that go with the gowns here of the ladies who actually wore them on their wedding day. And I imagine some of those names would probably be interesting to a lot of our listeners right now, because they're probably hearing some of their relatives' names.
They might be. And we have had people have come in and said, my grandmother's gown is here, mm-hmm. or my sister. The 1870 gown, the latest gown that we have, was worn by Nimmy Jenkins Rucker, mm-hmm. Which was at the Marymount House,
right.
out on Rucker Lane.
It's beautiful
a
house.
A beautiful
been
house.
In it many a time when it was the older house.
So, and then we've got the 1914 dress, which was Mrs. Shacklett's dress.
Mm-hmm.
The 1927 dress was Mrs. Peg Ridley,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Ridley's mother. The 1943 dress is Mrs. Rachel Brown, mm-hmm. and she was a member of the Oaklands Association.
Okay.
And then 1945, Mrs. Jeanette Stankwich.
Mm-hmm.
The 1953 was Mrs. Virginia Love Woodfin Beasley. And then her sister wore the gown again in 1959, and she is Frances Francis or Sissy Woodfin Follis. So they shared the gown. 1953, we also have Mrs. Jane Poole. And we also have a 1953 that's Bobby Woodall Manning. And that dress was handmade by the bride.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. And it has a lot of buttons on it, too. 1954, Lee Ridley Fly's dress. And then we have a 1955, Dean Todd Boyce. That's my great aunt.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't resist putting in some family there. 1967 is Marilyn Hauser Castelli. And then in 1999, her daughter, Maria Castelli Knox, wore the same dress. 1968, Andrea Calfee. That was a New York wedding. And then also 1968, we've got Sarah Bell. We have a picture of Gordon and Sarah, and we also have a photo of Gordon's parents. They were married in 1918.
Oh, wow.
And the Gordon's dad was 26, and the mother was 15. This was in 1918. 6 days after their wedding, he left for the army. And he was gone 2 years to France. And in the portrait, the wedding portrait, he has a flag in his pocket. So that's...
I have seen pictures of his dad. And really a remarkable person. And actually, Gordon and Sarah Bell are two very remarkable people, too. I mean, they're just a pleasure to know. But I have never seen those pictures.
It's a really unique picture. And we love the little stockings that she has on, the little black shoes. So it's a neat one to look at. And then
Is Sarah Bell, is she smiling in that picture?
Yes, she is. then we've got a 1973, a white velvet winter wedding dress. A 1977 dress that was worn by Beth Emery. She works at MTSU in the Department of Human Sciences. 1987, we have Nyla's dress, and she was Nyla Blanton-Gober. 1992, we've got Ellen Huddleston Wilson, and also in 1992, Shannon Smith Bolden. 1996, Mary Jo Crockett Mitchell. And then our most recent gown was 2008, and that was Deborah Belcher, who's also at MTSU.
You know, it's amazing to me that these ladies, Nyla, you can relate because one of your gown is in there, is why is it so special to maintain that gown and maintain it for as long as you can? Is it like somebody, you know, maybe would keep pictures of their family or something? What is the attachment?
It was a happy day, and it's probably a day that a lot of girls dream about. And so it's just important to keep that dress and remember the things.
And some of these ladies have been so excited to get their dresses out. They've been sealed away in boxes or hung in the back of closets. And, you know, we'd ask them, do you have a dress we could use? And they'd say, well, it's sealed up. And we'd say, well, you know, we can't afford to pay to have all of these dresses resealed. They said, we don't care. Open it up and get it out. And they're so excited to see them out for the open house. They were bringing their children to see their dresses. Grandmothers were bringing their granddaughters because their family had never seen their dresses. They've been packed away and put away. And when this exhibit's over on February 15th, these dresses go back to the back of the closets. They go back in their boxes for storage. And, you know, who knows when they'll be seen again.
Well, you know, I love going to weddings for the simple reason that the ladies are all over there. They're looking beautiful and smiling, and it's not just the bride's day. It's all the bridesmaids and the people that are there. But what I enjoy are the guys. It's usually 100 degrees up there on that platform. They're dressed in tuxes and If you know, most men have ever worn a tux will tell you that's not the most comfortable thing in the world. And you see them up there tugging and sweating and all that. It's definitely, though, a ladies' day. It really is. And it's something that I would love to know where this actually started, when the bride would actually, this would become her day. This is when all the focus will stay on her, and this is something that she'll remember forever. I'd like to know where that actually began.
We'll work on that for you.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to have that ready for me when I take my wife over and we start looking at the gowns?
We'll work on it.
We'll work on it. I promise.
It's our homework.
And see, today's Thursday, so
oh, no,
I'm definitely going to be there before Valentine's Day. Well, this has been a great day. It's been a lot of fun for me, and I know especially the ladies out there, they're going to take time between now and the day after Valentine's Day, the 15th of February, to make sure that they go over to the Oaklands Mansion and view this. And it is free. And the times are, I believe, are 10 to 4, Monday through Friday.
And through Saturday, too.
Through Saturday, and then 1 to 4 on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
So everybody, you put that on your calendar and make sure you make a visit there. And we'll see you tomorrow here at 2 o'clock.